After you'd convinced the RTA to set up a proper crash lab and start an ANCAP program, what was the reaction by the car manufacturers to this?
It was mixed. Some car manufacturers didn't believe what was happening. Others said that we didn't know what we were doing, and they were, I think, pretty confident that we would fail. They were still in denial. I think we had a meeting, you know, in Canberra somewhere or other, and they were carrying on as though they didn't believe it was all happening. So I think we scheduled the next meeting in Sydney. And I remember we walked over with these guys and they just looked around this building and they saw the track, they saw the barrier, they saw the lights, they saw the cameras, and I could see some of their faces just dropping because they really didn't think we'd get there.
The first formal ANCAP series of tests were held in 1992.
We did our first set of tests and we did it on, you know, typical family-sized sedans. And so that would have involved a Holden Commodore and a Ford Falcon and a Subaru Liberty and whatever else the cars were around at the time. By no means the worst performing vehicle was the Subaru Liberty, but they at the time threatened to sue us. They said our results weren't representative. And that was terrific because what it meant was it just immediately attracted the attention of the media. So it meant that our test results were going to get big coverage. It also meant that most of our bosses at the times got very nervous and their knees started shaking and they nearly cancelled the launch. But we stuck at it and we had our first launch. We got a lot of media publicity. And it was really a shame that Subaru had, in a sense, got the flak because their car was by no means the worst. And they learned a lot themselves. What people like Subaru who were importing vehicles hadn't fully realised themselves that some of the safety equipment that was standard in other markets was being left off in the Australian market. And so even whilst they were publicly shaking their fist at us, they were privately acknowledging that that was a practice they were going to change.
Yes, I believe that some Japanese car manufacturer took out certain safety features in the car sold in Australia.
They'd leave things like airbags and pretensioners and even just padding on the steering. I mean, the version of the car sold in the US would have a padded hub on the steering wheel. And the version sold in Australia would just have a plastic cap. It meant basically the head went straight down onto a bolt.
Why were they doing that?
Save money.
Graham Brisbane adds.
When I got involved with the management of the Crash Lab Committee and the program, they used to have a side impact test. And what happened was that the four-wheel drives passed this side impact test with flying colours because any car that hit it from the side, they were so high it went underneath the running board. And it didn't do any damage to the passenger. So we introduced into Crash Lab, we changed the test where the car is actually moved sideways at a speed of 29 kilometres an hour and hits a pole. And the manufacturer said, you can't do that. You know, we said, what do you care? You don't believe in the Crash Lab anyway. And they said, yeah, but all our cars will fail. We said, well, yeah, they will. And they did. And that hastened the development of side airbags and the curtain airbags because the Crash Lab testing was showing bad result. But as soon as one of the cars got a five-star rating, it started becoming the advertising. This is a five-star car. So whilst they kept criticising us, they also did respond to try and get better ratings and better ratings. But like you'd expect, it's the high-end cars that get the safety features first. It takes a long time before they get down to the bottom level. But I'm pretty sure in Australia now, every car has at least a driver's airbag, and I'm pretty sure two airbags. But one has to look at the society impacts as well. It's very nice to be able to say everything should be five star. But again, if you do that, then make the cars dearer, then the poor people won't buy new cars and will drive older cars and they'll be driving less safe cars for longer. So there's a fine balance between, you know, what you can force into a car and the economics of society that gets those cars into the real world.
Michael Payne adds,
we know that some of the least safe vehicles on the road that you buy as a new vehicle are three or four times the risk of a severe or fatal injury to compare with the best car in the group. Now, what does that mean? We sort of don't think of the road safety consequences too clearly, but if out of every 10 people who are killed in those least safe vehicles, maybe 7 or 8 of them would survive in the safest vehicle in the class. Now, that vehicle used to be often more expensive, maybe twice as expensive. But that's changed. In the last few years, we've seen the price of the safest vehicles marginally higher, if not the same, as the least safe. And that's, I think, where ANCAP has a very important role to make consumers aware that they've got a certain amount of money to spend, they want a certain type of vehicle, have a look at the list, see which is at the top of the list.